Right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Tzadik Dalet. We're actually going to begin the last three lines of Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Itmar. Kosel Shabein Shtei Chatzeros Shenafal. If you have also, again, remember the Gemara, we ended off with this sugya yesterday about what happens if realities in a Chatzer change on Shabbos itself. So do the circumstances of the Chatzer change with the newfound reality? So for example, you have a wall in between two Chatzeros at the onset of Shabbos, and then what happens? It falls. Now Rashi points out, it's the first white line in Rashi, Kosel Shevin Shnei Chatzeros, Shalo Haya Pesach Beinehem. There was no opening in this wall. V'lo Irvu Bo Yachad V'Nafal. So also remember, each Chatzer went ahead and made its own Iruv. So now what happens? Now the wall falls on Shabbos. So the status is almost like, what do you do with the two chatzeros? Because now at the end of the day, the two chatzeros are open into each other, but yet did not make a collective Eruv. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Ima Taltlin Ba'ala B'Dalaramas. Rav says, all you have is Dalaramas. Because we'll say again, Rav's logic now is that now suddenly the chatzer, each chatzer is open into an area which it does not have an Eruv with. It's open into what for it is an Usser area, that therefore that creates Isser. Therefore, even the residents of the chatzer can only carry Dalaramas in their own chatzer. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, top of Tzadik Dalet, Zemetaltalad Iker Mechitza, Vizemetaltalad Iker Mechitza. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, each one is still permitted to what? To carry until the base of where the wall was. Where the wall was. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Zemetaltalad Iker Mechitza, Rashi says, Kidime Ikara, as it was in the beginning, Da'an Minon, Hoil Vo Hutra, Hutra. Rabosai Shmuel's logic is, that the status of the chatzer is determined when? At the onset of Shabbos. And since at the onset of Shabbos, there was this wall, each chatzer made its own Eruv, therefore that status remains for the entirety of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, V'had Rav lav beferish itmar, ela michlala itmar. And this position of Rav, so also remember, Rav is the one who says that if that wall comes down, Rav says that we don't look at halachic reality, we look at actual reality. And actual reality is there's no wall. Two spaces are open to each other. They don't have an Eruv, can't carry more than Dalaramas. So the Gemara just says, Rav's position was not stated explicitly, but rather it was gleaned through his actions in a particular episode. Why? What happened? So the Gemara says, the Rav and Shmuel have Yossi Bahu Chatzer. Rav and Shmuel were sitting together in a particular Chatzer. Nafal Guda de Beni Beni. And I will say this is the same type of case, where the two Chatzeros there was a wall between them, and the two Chatzeros therefore had made their own, they had made their own independent Eruvim. What happened? The wall fell down on Shabbos. Amalu Shmuel said, Shakolu Glima Negida Ba. Shmuel said, take a cloak and stretch the cloak across the area where the wall was. Almost creating a mechitza. Okay. So the Gemara says, we'll see why he did that in just a moment. Ahadrinu Rav La'ape. Rav turned away. Then I will say, Rav's turning away would seem to be a sign of displeasure with what Shmuel was doing. Now remember, when Shmuel said spread the cloak across the area where the wall was, what Shmuel was actually saying was that the mechitza still remains in effect, even though the wall fell down. He just told him to stretch out a cloak across that area. Rav was upset about this. I want to lose Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Rav, e kapid Abba, if Abba is makbid, Abba is the way that Shmuel called Rav, shakolu heimene, v'katshuba. I will say what this literally means is, go ahead and take your belt and fasten it to it. Look at Rashi. Shakolu heimene v'katshuba, kichu avneto, v'katshuba esatalas l'mechitza. So we'll say, so apparently what Shmuel seemed to be saying to Rav was, you know, if you don't like it, then go ahead and fasten the cloak with your belt. Now, it's not immediately clear exactly what it is that Shmuel's trying to say. Shmuel seems to be saying to Rav, you know, if you don't think that the cloak is good enough, fasten it a little bit more, all right. Ul Shmuel lamaliha, but why did Shmuel need this? Ha'amar zemetaltlad ikon mechitza, zemetaltlad ikon mechitza. So now, here's what we know. So we know now, based on this episode, the fact that Rav turned away indicates that in Rav's view, when a wall falls down on Shabbos, then what? Then the wall is no longer in existence, and therefore the Maisa now, again, halachically, as well as actually, why should I say actually as well, so I know, halachically as well as actually, and therefore again, you would not be able to carry more than Dalar Amas in each of these two chatzeres. So the Gemara says, but according to Shmuel's logic is what? that essentially the status of any area is determined when? At the onset of Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, when the wall falls down, asks the Gemara, why did Shmuel have to put up the cloak? Right? What, meaning, Shmuel already said before that Lamaisa, each one could carry to the base, bless you, to the base of where the wall was. Why the need for the cloak? To which the Gemara says, Shmuel, Avid Litznius Ba'alma. Shmuel made this for Tznius, right? Privacy. It was a privacy fence. Right? He wanted to put up the cloak so that each chutz would have its own little bit of privacy. Okay? So the Gemara says, Verav Isvira Le Da'aser Le Male. So the Gemara now says, now if Rav really felt that this was Aser, because Rav was of the opinion that we look at actual reality, not halachic reality, then why doesn't he say so? Why doesn't Rav just say, if the wall falls down, you can't carry? To which the rest listen to this, Asrei de Shmuel Hava. Because you know where this took place? This took place in Shmuel territory, right? And in Shmuel territory, you don't start going ahead and issuing your own piece of gold. So it happens to be an incredible thing. It's respect. It's respect. They were in the locale of Shmuel. So Rav didn't feel comfortable. This is Pesach of Shmuel. Rav didn't feel comfortable. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, he didn't feel comfortable, Ihachi, my time ahajun la'ate. So we'll say, but if that's the case, then why did he turn away? Because we'll say, again, turning away is effectively what? Is effectively saying, I don't agree with this Pesach. If you're already doing that, then why not just say, I don't agree with the Pesach? So again, if you're trying to be sensitive to Shmuel, or not sensitive, trying to be respectful to Shmuel, then don't turn your head away. And if you're going to turn your head away, then why don't you say the halacha just doesn't follow Shmuel? To which the Gemara says, very interesting, the lo nemru kishmuel svira lei. Because, well, see, here's what's interesting. You have to understand something, in that one of the ways that Talmidim were often able to go ahead and understand how their Rebbe held was how, was by observing the actions and the behavior of their Rebbe in particular circumstances. So Rav was saying like this, there might have been Talmidim of Rav who were there. So Rav is in a little bit of a quandary. Because again, Rav is not going to publicly or verbally disagree with Shmuel because this is Shmuel's locale. On the other hand, if he doesn't do anything, then what? Then his Talmidim will assume that now he agrees with Shmuel. So what does he try to do? So he tries to go and essentially find the middle ground. He's not going to say anything because, again, that would be overtly arguing on Shmuel. On the other hand, he has to show his Talmidim that he still disagrees with this principle. So what does he do? He turns his head away. Okay. I will say, just you should know, Lemaisa, the Gemara, actually, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Paskin like Shmuel. Which is that Lemaisa, in this kind of situation, when you had a wall between two chatzeros, and the wall fell, and therefore, again, each chatzer had its own Erev, and the wall falls down on Shabbos, we say that the status of those two chatzeros was forged at the onset of Shabbos, and they'd be permitted to keep carrying again until the base of where the wall was. Okay, says the Mishnah. Chatzer shenifretz al Rosh Sarabim. So I'll say if you have a chatzer whose wall was breached to the Rosh Sarabim. So I'll say again, if you have the picture book, you can see this. It's picture 339. So again, you don't have to have a lot of imagination. Some of them you have to have more imagination. This, you don't need too much imagination. You have a chatzer. I will say again, the way this is set up is the chatzer on one side opens up into the mavoi. It was closed on three sides and had an entranceway into the mavoi. Now the wall that was right next to Rosh Sarabim is breached. So the Gemara says, so Jesus, the Mishnah says, Hamachnis mitocha l'Rosh Hayochid. Oh, may Rosh Hayochid l'socha. So if one goes in and carries from this chatzer to the Rosh Hayochid, or from the Rosh Hayochid into this chatzer, chayiv is chayiv. Div Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Eliezer apparently holds that once the chatzer becomes breached to Rosh Sarabim, then what? Then it has the status of Rosh Sarabim. To the point that if you were to carry from a Rosh Sayachid into this chatzer, or from the chatzer into a Rosh Sayachid, you literally would be chayiv an act of hotzah, chayiv nidoraisa for hotzah, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Amazing. Amazing. The Chum say, Misocha the Rosh Sarabim, Omer Rosh Sarabim Lisocha Potter. The Chum, on the other hand, say no. If you carry from this chatzer to Rosh Sarabim, or from Rosh Sarabim to the chatzer, you're Potter. You're Potter, Nipnei Shehi Kekarmelis. Because this area, this breached chatzer, is not like a Rosh Sarabim, but rather what? It's like a Carmelis. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Potter. I will say, remember, this is going back to our Shabbos days. When you say Potter, what does Potter mean? Potter means Potter aval Osir. Look at Rashi. Potter, about the status of a chatzer that is breached into Rishus HaRabim. That is breached into Rishus HaRabim. So again, the Chacham, Rabbi Eliezer says that it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. The Chacham says it has the status of a Carmelis. So we'll say Rav Kaminu between that would be, if you were to carry, let's say, from Rishus HaYochid into this Chatz, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you will be Chayiv Da'oraisa, and according to the Chacham, you'll be Chayiv Midrabana. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Denifritz al Rishus HaRabim, Havi al Rishus HaRabim. So Rabbi, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is that really true that because an area is breached into Rosh Sarabim, suddenly it has the status of Rosh Sarabim? So we'll say that's a very big statement. In Rabbi Eliezer, let's say the Gemara says yes. Rabbi Eliezer goes according to his already established reasoning. The sign of Rabbi Huda Om Rishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabim Shebiraru Derech Liatzman. We'll say there's an interesting Chosha Mishpa case as well. If you have, you know, the halacha is that if you have a pathway, even through private property, that has become used by the rabbin, that pathway becomes the property of the rabbin. Now, of course, the interesting thing about that is that, obviously, it started with one individual who was trespassing. You have this every once in a while. A couple of years ago, where somebody bought a house, and the house that they bought had a path in it that everybody used. The neighborhood used it because it was like a cut across to get to shul, much faster. And the person said, "I don't want people walking through my property." It was an interesting discussion because for a year, the previous owner was there for like 25 years, and it was like the neighborhood pathway. So it's an interesting discussion, Chosha Mishpat discussion, in terms of whether or not you could actually, is that a path that I've spat around? Do you have the right to say no? All right, so we'll come to the bagel shoot, we'll talk about that there. But the Gemara is like this. So now Rabbi Eliezer says, if you have a pathway that was chosen by the rabbi, right, Baruch Fischl, you have a path. There's a path like that by your.
Everybody at the end of Lee Court cuts through properties.
To get to Smith.
But I every time there's been a new owner, I asked.
Right.
Also.
To go. Baruch Hashem. All right. So now the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabim Sheber Derech Liatzman. If you have the general public that literally chose a path for themselves, which means that the rabbim used a particular path across Rosh Hashayachid, mashabiru biru, what they take, which means Rabbi Osei becomes the property of the rabbim. So Rabbi Osei, Rabbi Eliezer's position therefore is any area that is accessible by the rabbim, by definition, becomes Rosh Hashayachid. So just like if the rabbim choose a path, that area becomes Rosh Hashayachid. So too in Rabbi Eliezer's view, if Lamaisa, the Chatzar becomes breached to Rosh Sarabim, that's also Rosh Sarabim. So Rosh Sini, is that true? V'ha'amarav Gidl Amarav, v'hu sha'avda lahen derech ba'osa sada. So we'll say, Rav Gidl said the name of Rav, that's only true in a case where what? That's only true in a case where we know there was a path through this field, the path became lost, right? It wasn't clear where the path was, and the Rabbim begin to say, oh, this was the path. That's when the area becomes like a Rosh Sarabim. So maybe you'll say over here also that the case over here is where there was originally a path in this chatzar for the rabbim, and the rabbim lost the path, and now they're reclaiming it. Al makom mechitza machlokes. So Rabbi Chanina says that you have to understand the Mishnah a little bit differently. That the Mishnah is talking about over here of al makom mechitza machlokes. That these machlokes between the rabbin as to where exactly the original partition of the chatzer was. So we'll say, what does that mean? So now the way the Gemara is reinventing this particular case is that this was a situation where the rabbin originally had access to this chatzer. There's a machlokes about where the original public path was. So now once the mechitza comes down, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that this particular area becomes like a Rosh Sarabim. V'baisema. The other possibility is, betzidei Rosh Sarabim kamefliki. But also the other possibility is that the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is a machlokes in tzidei Rosh Sarabim. Rabbi, so remember, we've had this concept before. Tzidei Rosh Sarabim refers to literally the sides of Rosh Sarabim. So sides of Rosh Sarabim are areas that are not, they're not the primary Rosh Sarabim, but what happens is when there's overflow in the Rosh Sarabim, people will flow over to those sides. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Tzidei Rosh Sarabim, Kirosh Sarabim Damu. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that the sides of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim have the status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Rabbanon say, the Rabbanon say, feed Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, love Rosh Hashanah Rabbim damu. So also, the Gemara wants to suggest maybe this is the Machlokes and the Mishnah. Because what's going to happen over here, Rabbosai? Now that the wall is down, so Rabbi Elias is going to say, what's going to end up happening? Because remember, the Chatzer is right next to what? Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. When the wall was up, that kept the Rabbim out. Now that the wall is down, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? When there's congestion, the Rabbim will spill over into the Chatzer. That's called Sidir Sarabim. Rabbi Eliezer says, Sidir Sarabim is like Rosh Sarabim. Chachamim say, the Rabbanan say, no, it's not. So the Gemara says, V'liflog b'tzidir Sarabim ba'alma. So then, I don't understand. If that's their machlokes, so then why do you have to frame it in a case like this of a chatzar that had a wall fall down? Why don't you just frame it simply as a machlokes in Sidir Sarabim? I'flogu b'tzidir Sarabim ba'alma. Because if they would have just argued in a case of Sidir Sarabim, Hava Amrinan ki pligi rabbanan alei Rabbi Eliezer. When do the rabbis argue on Rabbi Eliezer? Hani mili heicha diika chifufi. When do the rabbis argue on Rabbi Eliezer? Well, say that's the only one that's chifufi. What are chifufi? Chifufi are obstacles. Are obstacles. Aval heicha deleka chifufi ema moldu le. So we'll say, because Amrinan thought the following. When do the rabbis say that Sidi Rosh Sarabim are not like Rosh Sarabim? That's when Rabbi say there's not unobstructed passage, because very often in these side areas, oh, for some you'd have obstacles, you'd have pillars, you'd have walls, you'd have bushes, whatever you had. So that's the case where the Rabbanon say that Sidir Rosh Sarabim is not like Rosh Sarabim. But in a regular case of unobstructed Sidir Rosh Sarabim, maybe they would agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon, the Rabbanon argue with Rabbi Eliezer, even in a case of an unobstructed Sidir Rosh Sarabim. The Ha Mitocha Ka'amar. But one second, the Gemara says, but yet, if you look at the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah is, Chatzar Shenifritzal Rosh Sarabim Hamachnis Misocha. So the way the Mishnah is phrased is that it sounds like the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon is not just on the border of the Chatzar, but is what? Is about the Chatzar itself. Now, Rabbosai, if what's really happening over here is a machlokes about Sidir Rosh Sarabim, that doesn't really include the whole Chatzar. What does it include? It includes just the narrow edge of the Chatzar. But yet the Mishnah seems to indicate that machlokes is about the whole Chatzar. I di da amar Rabbanon mitocha, amar ihu nami mitocha. So Gemara says, no. Since the Rabbanon used the Lashon of Misocha, Rabbi Eliezer also uses that Lashon. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbanon Amar, Rabbi Eliezer, Sidir Sarabim, Umahadra Le'inhu Misocha. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So when the rabbi sees Rabbi Eliezer is speaking about Sidir Sarabim, and the Rabbanon respond by talking about the entire Chatzar, Hachi Kamli Rabbanon Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, this is what's happening. The rabbis say the following to Rabbi Eliezer, Mi lo kamodis lan, Hecha de tiltul Misocha Lish Sarabim, So the Rabbanon say to Rabbi Eliezer, do you not at least agree with us that if you were to carry from the inside of this chatzer to the Rosh Sarabim, that you should be potter? Why? Why? Because at the end of the day, the inside of the chatzer is just a karmelis. If the inside of the chatzer is a karmelis, then what say the Rabbanon? So the edges of the chatzar should also be a karmelis. But Rabbi Eliezer, hasam lo kadarsi lo rabim. Hacha kadarsi lo rabim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Eliezer makes the following chilek. Rabbi Eliezer says that lemaisa, there's a distinction between the outer edge of the chatzar and the inside of the chatzar. The inner part of the chatzar might be able to be considered a karmelis, but the outer edge has to be considered like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why? Because he says that's an area Shadar Sibo Rabbim. Remember, it's Brish Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What Rabbi Eliezer is suggesting is when there's overflow traffic from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, they're not going to go all the way into the Chatzah, but where will they go? They'll go right by the edge. So Rabbi Eliezer has a very interesting position. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the two parts of the Chatzah have two different identities. When the Chatzah is Brish Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so the inner part might really be a karmelis, but the outer part will actually be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay, so that's Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon in our Mishnah. Both said the way the Rambam paskins, you can see already in the Mishnah, is like the Chachamim. It's like the Chacham, that ultimately the entire area, the breached Chatzar, both the edge where the wall was as well as the inside, has the status of a karmelis, and therefore midirabbanan, you would not be permitted to carry. You would not be permitted to carry more than dalet amos in this chatzer. Nor would you be permitted to go ahead and transfer an item from rishus hayachid or rishus harabim into this area. Says the Mishnah, chatzer shenifratzol rishus harabim mishtei ruchosel. We'll say another case: a chatzer that was breached into rishus harabim from two sides, two directions. V'chein, we'll discuss how this is possible. V'chein, or not how it's possible, what the case is. V'chein bayis shenifratz mishtei ruchosav. Similarly, if you have a home that was also breached on two sides. V'chein mavui shenitlu korosav olechayev. Or we'll say, for that matter, if you have a mavui. And remember, we're also going back already to our original discussions, that a mavui, in order to carry a mavoi, you need to have a lechi or a kora, a vertical or a horizontal beam at the entrance. So let's say you have a mavoi, and the lechi or kora was taken on Shabbos. So the halacha is in all of these cases mutarim ba'osa Shabbos va'asurim la'asid lavol divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what Rabbi Yehuda says, they're mutar for this Shabbos. But Asr in the future. So we'll say again, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is like kind of what we said before, which is that Lamaisa, as Rabbi Yehuda did say before, that Lamaisa, the status of a particular area is established at the onset of Shabbos, and that status remains for unchanged for that Shabbos. Even if circumstances change, you may have to readjust things for future Shabbos, but for this Shabbos, you're locked. You're locked in. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in Mutar La'os, the Shabbos, Mutar La'os Lavo. Rabbi Yossi says you got to choose a side. If they're good for this Shabbos, then they're good for the future. If they're not going to be good for the future, then what? Then asur lo asa Shabbos. Then it's asur for the Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi, machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is, do you look at actual circumstances, or do we say that the identity is frozen at the onset of Shabbos? Similar to the machlokes we had previously. Says the Gemara, b'mayaskinon, what's the case? I will say, remember, the initial two cases of the Mishnah, whereas we have a chatzer that's breached on two sides, or a home that's breached on two sides. So the Gemara says, what's the case? Let's start with the chatzer for just a moment. Ilema be'eser, if you want to say that the breach is 10 amos, ma'ishnami ruach achos da amar pis, excuse me, if it's 10 amos or less, then ma'ishnami ruach achos da amar pis chahu, mishtei ruchos nami pis chahu. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? If the breach is less than 10 amos, then what? Less than 10 amos has the status of a Pesach, of an opening, of an entranceway. If that's the case, then who cares if I have that on one side, or I have it on two sides, or three sides, or four sides? If it's an opening, it does not negate the enclosure. Ella, rather, it must be b'yeser me'eser. It must be what? That the breach that we're talking about is more than 10 amos. So Gemara says, 1 second, that's the case, afidu miruach achas nami. If that's the case, then what? Then even just if you have this kind of opening on one side, right, on one side, that negates the enclosure. To which the Gemara says, amirav li'olam vi'eser. So Rav says, you're right, in reality we're talking about a breach of 10 or less. Aye, so why does it negate the structure? Ukigon shenifritza bekeren zavis. Chazal will say, what does it mean that it was breached on two sides? It means it's breached in a corner. Now again, we'll say, if you take a look, this is picture 340, where essentially now the wall is breached on two sides. So we'll say, so what does that do for us? So the Gemara says, the piska bekeren zavis lo avdi inshi. People do not make entrances on corners. So we'll say something, but now very, very interesting qualification to a principle we've had throughout this entire Masechta. An opening of less than 10 amos can be considered an opening as long as what? As long as it's on one side. But once you have a circumstance, once you have a situation where the chatzer is breached in a corner, and again, you can see this is the picture over here. Again, pretty obvious. Breached in a corner, so it's open on two sides. People don't make entrances to chatzeros like that. So therefore, once you have a breach like that, then lemaisa, even 10 amos or less, is considered a breach that negates the mechitza. Together. So the Gemara says, the piska b'keren zavis lo inch, lo avid inch. Because also remember, the whole din of an opening of 10 amos or less, not invalidating a mechitza, is that it has the status of a Pesach. The Gemara is suggesting that now a breach on a corner, people don't make a Pesach like that. Therefore, a breach of even 10 or less in the corner is considered a breach. Now, I'll say, obviously, the one exception to this would be lavud, meaning if you have a breach in the corner that's less than 3 tefachim, or 4 tefachim, depending on how you rule on that machlokes, that won't be a breach, because again, that's Lavud. Lavud says if the space is small enough, it's as if it doesn't exist. So obviously, even if you have that on the corner, that will be okay. Says the Gemara, similarly, if you have a home that was also breached from two directions, so the Gemara says like this. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The fact that the Gemara talks about a home that was breached on two sides obviously indicates the fact that what? That if the home was breached on one side, it would not be a problem. Now, why is that? So the Gemara doesn't say, but let's say it's outside for just a moment. So the Gemara says, because you have the concept of pitikra yori v'sosin. So also, we've had this concept before already. Pitikra yori v'sosin means what? That we view the edge of the roof as if it extends downwards and creates a virtual mechitza. So the Gemara said, excuse me. So now in this case, you're dealing over here with a home that was breached on two sides. So the Gemara says, Maishna mi ruach achos, de amrinan pi tikra yori v'sosin, mishtei ruchos nami lema pi tikra yori v'sosin. So the Gemara says like this, I don't understand. Why should two sides be any different than one side? Just like if there was an opening on one side, we would say pi tikra yori v'sosin, literally the lip of the roof extends downwards and closes in, and closes the area. Why can't we say that from two sides? Right? Why can't you go in and say pi tikra from two sides? Amri de Bei Rav Mishmei de Rav. They said in the yeshiva of Rav, the name of Rav. Listen to this. Kigon shenifrats bekeren zavis v'kiruyav ba'alachson. So this is a very interesting case. Because what's the situation? Where again, the home was breached on a corner and the roof is sloped. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Amri Bei Rav Hanami bekeren zavis. This is also a corner breach. Afagav de be'eser ukimna lo amrinar pischahu de pischa bekeren zavis lo avi. So first of all, remember, we'll say using the same logic as we just used before, it can't be called an entranceway. Why? Because people don't make entranceways in corners. That's number one. Umishum pitikra namila, and pitikra won't help you out over here. Why not? Kigon shekiruya ba'alachson b'shipua kigon gagin shalanu, because the roof is sloped, Rashi, like our rooftops. Deleka peh. Hainu kein arzilas. We'll also listen to this. Interestingly enough, one of the aspects of Pitikriya Visosim is what? That it only works with a flat roof. It only works with a flat roof. So also here, you can see the picture. Again, these you don't need too much imagination for. So here again, sloped roof. The home is breached on the corner. So we've got two things working against us over here. Number one is that it's breached in a corner. And the corner is not called the Pesach. Number two, the roof itself is sloped. And the only time you could say pitik or yord v'silsim is when the roof is flat. So says the Gemara, Shmuel on the other hand says, afilu b'yeser me'eser. Shmuel says that we could be talking, the Mishnah could be talking about a case of a breach even more than 10 amos. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi miruach achos nami. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, that it's dealing with more than 10, then you don't even need it to be breached on two sides to invalidate the enclosure. A breach of more than 10, even on one side, will invalidate the enclosure. To which the Gemara says, Ihachi miruach achas nami, mishum bayis. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, Ushmul amar, masnisin afilu biyaser, velo misnale ela bishtei ruchos, kidim afarish v'azil, v'achotzer kamadishmos. So we'll say, Shmuel's now jumping back to the chotzer case for just a moment. So Shmuel now wants to suggest that the case of the breached chutz, remember the Mishnah said if you have a chutz that's breached on two sides, it invalidates the enclosure. Shmuel said, what are we talking about? A breach of more than 10 amos. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, if it's a breach of more than 10 amos, I don't need a breach on two sides. Even a breach on one side of more than 10 amos is going to invalidate the chutz. Look at Rashi Rosai. B'su, mishum bayis, delo efsha baruch achos, mishum pitikar yor v'sosin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the Gemara answers, so we'll say Shmuel says like this. Shmuel says the case of the chatzer is talking about a chatzer that has a breach of more than 10 amos. That's why the enclosure is batal. I, says the Gemara, if that's the case, then why do you have to set up the case in the Mishnah is dealing with a breach on two sides? Even a breach on one side will invalidate the chatzer, to which the Gemara answers, because according to Shmuel, the Gemara wants to make the chatzer case symmetrical with the bayis case. And the bayis case only becomes problematic when it's breached on two sides. Why? So the Gemara says, "Ubayis gufei tikshe maishna ruach achos da aminan pi tikar yori v'sosim mi beis ruchos nami neima pitikar yor visosim. So the Gemara says like this. So remember, we'll say just follow this logic for just a moment. This is now a new interpretation. Remember, we had two different interpretations of the Mishnah. According to the first interpretation of the Mishnah, which was Rav, Rav wanted to suggest that the case of the chatzar that was breached on two sides that the Mishnah said was problematic, was talking about a breach of less than 10 amos. If it's less than 10 amos, then why is it a problem? So how did Rav answer that? Where is the breach? Where's the breach? The breach is on the corner. The breach is on the corner. And therefore, again, people don't make entranceways on the corner, and therefore even a breach of 10 or less on a corner will invalidate a chatzar. Similarly, what's the case of the bayis? The case of the bayis could also be a breach of less than 10. And where is it? It's also on the corner with a sloped roof. So you have two things working against you. People don't make entranceways in the corner, and what? You can't say P-Tikr Yorid Vesosin. Fine. Comes along Shmuel. Shmuel says, no. The truth is, the case could be talking about a situation of where the breach is more than 10 amos. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. If the breach is more than 10 amos, then I don't understand the case of Chatzar. Why does the Mishnah have to say that the Chatzar is breached on two sides? If it's more than 10 amos, then what? Even a breach on one side will invalidate the enclosure. To which Shmuel answers, oh, because you need to have a case of breached on two sides for the case of the bias. So once we're making a breached on two sides for the bias, we're going to make it breached on two sides for the chatzar. Says the Gemara, why do you need it to be breached on two sides for the bias? So now the Gemara says, Maishna. So the Gemara says the following, bias kufei tikshe. So Shmuel, I don't understand the way you're understanding bias. Maishna mi ruach achos. The Amrinan pi tikra yori v'sosim. So I don't understand. If it was only breached on one side, you would say pi tikra yori v'sosim. Mi beiz ruchos nami neima pi tikra yori v'sosim. Why can't you say let the edge of the roof come down and create a virtual mechitza for two sides? V'su, furthermore, mi isle l'shmuel pi tikra yori v'sosim. Does Shmuel actually subscribe to the idea of pi tikra yori v'sosim? After all, v'ha itmar, so we learned this earlier. Achsadra babika. If you're also, you have a portico. Remember our case of the achsadra? The achsadra is a roof that is supported on four pillars. In an open field. So the shayla is, how far can you carry underneath this structure? Rav Amar Mutra Taltal Bakula. Rav said that you can carry throughout the entire structure. And Rabbo said, we assume the logic behind that was what? Rav says, Pitik or Yorid Vesosim, because Rav used it as if it's enclosed. Ushmuel Amar. And Shmuel says what? Shmuel says that you can only carry Dal Amos. The Pashtos, why? Because Shmuel doesn't hold P'tikr Yorid V'sosim. Then I will say, listen to this. Now if Shmuel doesn't hold P'tikr Yorid V'sosim, then what? Then according to Shmuel, when a home is breached even on one side, that should create a problem. Why? Because even because there's no P'tikr Yorid V'sosim. To which the Gemara says, Halo Kasha, that's not a contradiction. I'll tell you why. Ki lesle bidalid. When does Shmuel not hold the P'tikr Yorid V'sosim? Shmuel holds that you can't use that concept for four walls. You both said the case of the achsadra is where you're literally using P'tikr Yorid V'sosim on four sides. That's just, well, come on, you can't do that. That you can't do. But, aval b'sholosh islay. Shmuel would say as long as you have one real wall, you can go ahead and use P'tikr for the other three. So the Gemara says, fine, that's fine. Mikol makom kasha. But they will say, we still have a question. Look at Rashi. Mikol makom kasha. Shtei ruchos amai lo amrinan P'tikr Yorid V'sosim. Ushmuel lo matzi muki bikirei alachson. Di'imkin burach achas nami tisar hod yosem yasa. So we'll say, again, we're still back to our original question, which is that according to Shmuel's understanding of the case of the Mishnah, which is what? Which is where the breach is more than 10 amos, then what is the case for Shmuel where the home is breached on two sides? Still, at the end of the day, if you have a breach of more than 10 amos, even a breach on one side is problematic. How does Shmuel understand the Mishnah talking about a breach on two sides? Ki da'amri bei Rav, mishmei d'Rav. As they said in the yeshiva of Rav, the name of Rav, ki gon shenifratz bekeren zavis, v'kiruya v'alachson. So Shmuel will have the same interpretation of Rav for the case of the bayis. What's the case? Where the home was breached on a corner, and the roof is sloped. So therefore, we'll say what? Therefore, hachanami kigon shenifratz pekeren zavis vikiruyav. Vikiruyav. I'm sorry, I just lost the place here. Hakanam kigon shenifrats. Kigon shenifrats b'keren zavis. V'kiruya ba'avras. We'll say, listen to this. Look over here. Look over here. This is picture 342. See, interestingly enough, so Shmuel has a very different interpretation over here. Well, actually, before you look at the picture, look at Rashi for just one moment. So Viki Ruyav, ha, Nami, oh, you actually have a picture in Rashi also over here. So Shmuel will say over here that what's the case? The case over here is where it was breached in the corner, Viki Ruyav Ba'arba. Right? Viki Ruyav Ba'arba. So we'll say, what does this mean? So look at the picture, 342. So if you have the picture book, so he quotes over here, the side, Hachinami, Kigon Shnifrats Pekaren Zavis, the home was breached in the corner, Vikiruyav Ba'arba, and Rashi says over here, V'nimtzu Khan Arba Pios Shetzarech Listom. So in this logic over here, Abosai, the way that Shmuel breaks it down, if you look over here, you have four different entranceways that need to be blocked up. Because the way that the breach worked over here, you could see four different areas that need to be filled. Shmuel will say this is the kind of case where ultimately the two sides represent two breaches on each side, and therefore will invalidate the enclosure in its entirety. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Viki Ruyav, Nami Afa Gavdalo Airi Be Masnisin, Mi Boile Leukmai, She'eno Kishar Tikros Ela Mishupa, Lididi Hai Shte Ruchos. So, according to Shmuel, he'll say each of those two directions represents one corner. Ukegon shenifrats zakosel min hakirui alpenei kol apirza. I don't have to do the rest of this, Rashi. So, go back to the Gemara for just a moment. Ukegon shenifrats v'kerem zavis kiru ba'arba. Shmuel lo omer kerav ba'alachson. So the Gemara says, Shmuel doesn't hold like Rav. Shmuel doesn't hold like Rav by Alachson. So the Gemara says, lo katani, the Rav lo amar ki Shmuel. I'm sorry, Shmuel lo amar ki Rav, Alachson lo katani. So say Shmuel doesn't hold the Rav's interpretation. Why? Because the Mishnah doesn't say anything about Alachson. So we'll say the way that Rav interpreted the Mishnah was that the reason why the case of the home doesn't have particular visosim is why? Because the roof is sloped. The reason why Shmuel doesn't agree with the sloped interpretation, which is why Shmuel has to go ahead and go with this four-piece breach, is because the Mishnah doesn't say anything about the rooftop being sloped. Rav lo amar ki Shmuel. Rav doesn't paskin like Shmuel. Why? Imkein havi le achsadra. Because Shmuel, the way that you're setting up this case, makes it just like the case of achsadra. The Rav l'tameh, and Rav goes according to his previously established reasoning, da amar achsadra mutter l'taltal b'kula. Because we'll say Rav holds that in the case of achsadra, you are permitted to carry throughout the entire area. So the Gemara says, the itmar, achsadra, because we learned before, that in achsadra b'bika, if you have a portico in an open field, Rav Amar Mutzla Talta Bekula. Rav says you can carry throughout the entire thing. Because again, Pitik Yerv is so same. Ushmuel Amar Ematatlin Ba Ela Ba Arba Amos. And Shmuel says you can only carry within it Dalar Amos. Rav Amar Mutzla Talta Bekula. Rav says you can carry throughout the entire Achsadra. Why? Arminon Pitik Yerv is so same. Because Rav holds that again, the edge of each of the rooftops, or the edge of each side of the rooftop, extends downward and encloses the area. Ushmuel amar imetaltlin ba ela ba arba amos lo amrinan pi tikar yori v'sosim. Shmuel says you can't carry in dalet amos. Why? Because ultimately, again, we don't say pi tikar yori v'sosim. Now, also remember, we've just qualified that statement by saying it's not that Shmuel rejects the notion of pi tikar yori v'sosim. It might just be that what? That Shmuel rejects that concept on four sides. So we'll say what comes out l'maisa is a fundamental machlokes in Rav and Shmuel how to understand the Mishnah. So again, Rav understands it as dealing with the case of a pirtza pachos me'eser, it's either 10 or less, in which case, again, Shmuel interprets, that's how he interprets the chatzar case, and that's how he interprets, ultimately, the case of the bias as well. Rav has to understand that it's talking about, again, a pirtza on the corner with the sloped roof, therefore can't say pitikir v'sosim. Whereas Shmuel understands that could even be talking about a pirtza that's greater than 10. In the chatzar case, I don't really need it to be breached on both sides, or even breached on one side is problematic. And the only reason it said two sides is because by the house case, it went ahead and said by two sides, therefore made it by chatzar two sides. And in the house case, he just disagrees with Rav's interpretation because the Mishnah doesn't make any discussion about a sloped roof. Because that Shmuel takes this away from the discussion of Pitikir Vesosim. So let's just end off with one line. So the Gemara says, be'eser kuli alma lo pligi. So the Gemara, actually, no, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with be'eser mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.
It was a teaser for next episode.
Yeah.